My brothers and my dear sisters and children here, I call your attention this morning to this passage of God's Word, to the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. And here we find a very familiar parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we face what is known as the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. As you know, my brothers and sisters, a parable is an earthly story with a spiritual meaning, with a spiritual message. Our Lord Jesus Christ uses familiar pictures of this life to teach us the doctrines of God. Our Lord uses familiar things that we can associate it and often we have experience with to teach us the things of God. In other words, brothers and sisters, here in this parable, we find a human story that we can understand. A human story that we can appreciate. And it points us, you see, by this story to a spiritual message. Our Lord has not used a picture from heaven. He does not tell us a story from heaven to teach us the things of God. If that were to be the case, brothers and sisters, none of us here sitting in this room would be able to understand it, since none of us here has yet gone to heaven yet. And that is why we read in the Holy Bible, in places like Mark chapter 12 and verse 37, that the common people heard him gladly. The common people flocked to our Lord Jesus Christ. They love our Lord Jesus Christ. They love to hear our Lord Jesus Christ because they could understand the teachings of our Lord. They could appreciate the many earthly stories, that he was telling them because they spoke to their hearts and their conscience. For example, I'm sure you know the parables of the sower. Well, the people, the common people, they could identify with that parable, that earthly story, because most of them were farmers. They were living, the ancient people, in the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, they were living in an agricultural society. And so when the Lord taught them the parable of the sowers, of going about sowing the seeds on different types of soil, they could identify. They knew exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to and describing to them. And that is why the common people heard him gladly. Well, brothers and sisters, what about you? Do others understand the message of Christ as you explain to them? Are you like our Lord Jesus Christ, you see? Are you able to tell parables, earthly stories, with the intention to communicate to people spiritual realities and spiritual message that you receive from God? Are you able to use everyday experiences of life to convey the gospel that God has provided you to share with others? Well, I'm sure you know Charles Spurgeon. Well, Charles Spurgeon is known to be the greatest English preacher of the last century. And why was he so popular? Why are we in love with Spurgeon? Is it not because he was very plain? And is it not because most of the things he said, we are able to identify with him? The stories especially. Now, once when I was a student in England, I had a roommate from Russia, and one morning Vladimir Zinchenko was his name. He came into my room and he was very excited. He was reading a book about Spurgeon, and he came to me. He said, "Really, look at this saying of Spurgeon. It is really interesting." And so I read it. It says, "You cannot be a good father if you are not a good husband." And so I was looking at him. I said, "Vladimir, what's so exciting about this saying of Spurgeon?" He said that in Russia, in my church in Russia, you know, many people abuse their wives. They beat up their wives, especially when they were drunk. They cannot be Christian. They cannot be good fathers, because Spurgeon say, if you are not a good husband, you cannot be a good father. It's things like that, brothers and sisters, that we can identify with. Are you able then, brothers and sisters, this morning as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ our Lord, are you able to identify with the common people around you? Or are you somebody known to be so intellectual that most people don't even know what you're talking about? You see, in this day and age, we thank God that there are many projects taken around the world trying to modernize Puritan books. People are trying to, you know, translate, in other words, from Puritan English to modern English, so that young people of today and people who are not very good with the English language, they are able to understand and appreciate and benefit from the writings of the Puritans. But there are many Christians who are trying to discourage, who are trying to obstruct such projects. They say that Puritan books should be read in its original way, should not be translated, should not be modernized, or else it will lose its punch, it will lose its significance, it will lose its value. And so they try ways and means to discourage the modernization of such Puritan books. Well, brothers and sisters, what do we learn here from our Lord Jesus Christ? That we must communicate to people, especially the common people, in ways that they can appreciate. What is the point of having Puritan books when nobody today, or most people today, cannot appreciate and cannot understand? Many people will tell you that they cannot even go more than a page one of a Puritan book. Well, I have heard many people say to me, in that case, these people should just forget about Puritan books. Well, is that what our Lord would say? The Bible tells us here, the common people heard Him gladly. Do you have the same spirit as our Lord here, you see? Just recently, someone sent me a saying which I thought I should share with you in this point here. The saying goes, let it be said about you that the only time you look down at a man is when you are trying to help him stand up. Well, you look down at him because he has fallen. That is the only time you look down at a man, a fallen man, because your intention is to raise him up again. Your intention is to help him get on his feet again. Your intention is to assist. Let it not be said to about a Christian, especially any one of us here, that you look down at people because they are not as intellectual as you, they are not as reformed as you, that they are not able to read a Puritan book just like you read a Puritan book. Well, brothers and sisters, or else you will not be like our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Our Lord here, by the telling of this parable and all the other parables that He told us in the Holy Bible, is teaching us how to reach out to others with the gospel. This is how our Lord is teaching us to use daily experiences that people can identify with to communicate the things of God to them. That we must learn from our Lord. We must learn from our Lord this skill. We must pick it up from our Lord. Even today, brothers and sisters, when you start with a story, when you tell people a parable of our Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be surprised that the non-Christian, they are able to understand. And isn't it going to be easier for you then to go about sharing with the person the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Let us pray together, shall we? That the Lord will teach us to be plain, to be modern in our sharing of the gospel, so that others will be saved and converted. Look at verse 9 of Luke chapter 18, where the Holy Bible tells us that our Lord spake this parable unto certain people which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and they despised others. And with that, we find our Lord Jesus Christ using two characters in this earthly story. We find Him calling to our attention a Pharisee and a tax collector. One of them trusted in himself. And this is what we see in this parable. And the other man trusted in God's mercy alone. Clearly, our Lord Jesus Christ is using this Pharisee to represent people, those people who trusted in themselves, that they were more righteous, or at least they were righteous, and they go about despising people who were not as good as they thought themselves to be. Now look at this Pharisee here, in this parable, earthly story of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, you find two main Jewish religious schools. You find the schools of the Pharisee and the school of the Sadducees. And the Pharisees, they were known to be the stricter school. They were known to be the fundamentalists, as we may call them today. They were known to be very strict, very upright in keeping the laws of God, so-called, according to their understanding. They thought that they were keeping the laws of God more fully and completely than the others in the other schools and in society. This is how our Lord Jesus Christ described this Pharisee here, represented in His parable. Now look at the ways. Look at what ways this Pharisee showed that he trusted in himself. Look at verses 11 and 12 as we are told by our Lord. He says, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" And this is how our Lord described this man. And the Lord is not talking about the Pharisee. Yes, he used the Pharisee, but he's talking about people even in Singapore this morning. Even maybe some of us here sitting in this room. Are you such a person? Do you look at yourself and you have a ticking list every day and you say that I have not told a lie, I have not stole anything, I have not committed adultery, and therefore with all these things, tick, 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 I am better than others who are guilty of one of all in my list of morality? Well, brothers and sisters, this Pharisee actually can be summarized in this way. The Lord described him as a person who said, "I am not as other men are." That's how he described himself in verse 11. "I am not as other men are." This is how he looked at others. "Oh, I'm better than you. I'm not like you. Because I'm different from you. I'm a unique creature. I'm holier than you. I'm better than you. I'm a better Christian. And I have done better in my Christian life than you all." This is how he saw himself. He saw himself as better than others. And this is an attitude that the Lord associated with the Pharisee. Somebody who trusted himself. And we must ask ourselves, are we of that sort when we come before God? Do you think that God accepts you because you are better than others? Do you think that God will receive you because you are a better husband, a better wife? Maybe you have better children who have performed better in school than others, and therefore God should be rewarding you more than others? The salvation that merits before God is about how much you have done better than others, that you have improved. You know, in this society, in this secular society, we are often told that we must improve, we must excel. If not, we will be left behind in this changing world. And that may come into the church too. That we think that it is by our own strength and our own wisdom that we will please God and that we will gain our righteousness before God. The Pharisee is actually saying, "I am not as other men are." And it's worth our meditation today. I am not as other men are. Is this a Christian thinking? I am not as other men are. Should a Christian see himself in this world? I am not as other men are. Is that how a Christian should look at other people? Well, brothers and sisters, this is a common human problem, isn't it? As sinners, we are all inclined to trust in ourselves. As sinners, we trust in our own righteousness. We see ourselves often as better and holier than other people. We think, you know, in our foolishness, we think that we can actually be good enough for heaven based on what we can do in our own strength. That we don't need help. Why do you talk about a Savior who will save me to heaven? Actually, I'm better than other men. I don't need a Savior. I have done my best. Look at my wife. She's so happy. Look at my husband. He is so successful in life. Look at my children. They are all in branded schools. And they have excellent results. Have I not been a good man, a good woman? I am not as other men are. Well, the Lord is trying to teach us here, my dear brothers and sisters, that if you are really a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, you must never think like this Pharisee here. You must never see yourself as better than others. And you must never look at others and say to yourselves, "I am not as other men are." Often, we think we can do a better job than others, right? That's what we often see ourselves doing, especially when we talk about politics. We speak as if we know better than all the ministers and civil servants in the world. And during election time, we often know how to tell people what I would have done if I'm the Prime Minister. This is what we should do to recover from the recession. Are we not actually saying, "I am not as other men are"? because I'm smarter, I'm better, even than the Prime Minister, who should know better information than all of us here. That's what we see when we talk about the faults of other people, isn't it? That's what we see when we witness church splits, when we see fightings among Christians. That's what we see in a marital problem, isn't it? When we find a husband fighting with his wife, actually, both of them are saying to one another, I'm better than you. Isn't that what you are talking about? When the husband blamed the wife, and the wife blamed the husband. I am better than you. I am, not as other men are. Look at what he further said. What he meant when he said that I am not as other men are. He said that other men are extortioners. Other men are unjust. Other men are adulterers. Other men, even like this man, the publicans, oh, they are sinners. He was despising others. And he showed his disgust. He showed his bad feeling toward others by describing all the faults and all the failures and all the sins he saw in others. We often never see ourselves as sinners, do we? I have yet to go to a maternal ward in a hospital to welcome a baby. I have yet to go there and see the new father and the new mother saying, I have just given birth to a sinner. No, all of them will say, look at my baby, so cute, so innocent. They are our little angels. Nobody has said, this is my little devil. When we get angry, we get angry with others. When we get angry when others highlight to us our faults and our character faults. Recently, our church was involved in this. We try to help somebody because we saw a character flaw in that person. So in ways and means, we try to communicate to the person that, look, you better do something about it, or else you'll disgrace yourself and disgrace the name of Jesus Christ, whom you purpose to uphold in your life. The person became very angry and very hateful toward us. We became his enemies, public enemies number one. Thank God there is no guns in Singapore. Or else all the elders and the pastor especially would have been shot. And there would be a homicide. Actually, you know, we are rather pleased with ourselves. Just leave me alone to think that I am not like other men. Just don't tell me that I'm wrong. That I am like other men. Because that will make me angry. Because I bluff myself that I am better than other men. And so let me be. But you see, God will not allow us to rest in that elusive dream, rest in that falsehood, in that wrong idea about us. We are no different from other men. We are exactly like what we think we are not when we see in other people, brothers and sisters. Notice that this Pharisee, he said all these things about himself while he was standing by himself before God. He was actually talking to himself. The Bible tells us here very clearly that he was standing, he thought, that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He was alone, nobody around as it were, and only God, but God was not listening. That's the impression we get here from our Lord Jesus Christ. He was talking to himself rather than talking to God. This is what he said to God. But God did not say that about him. This is how he described himself, Lord. I am not like other men. But that's not what God said about him. And we are very good at that, isn't it? We go to our wife and our husband and say, hey, you should be glad you're married to me. You know, look, you should be glad you're married to me. But our spouses did not say that about us. And we go to our children and say, you should be grateful that you have a father like me, a mother like me, so committed. Our parents, our children never say that about us. We put it into their mouth. And we like it so much because it praises us. Oh, brothers and sisters, are we not often told that it's better that others tell us the good in us rather than we tell the good of ourselves to others? Because that will be falsehood. Actually, this Pharisee here in this parable of our Lord, he actually thanked God for what he said about himself. He actually thanked God that he was not like other men. Can you see how ridiculous it can be? But that's a common human problem, isn't it? Now, publicly we won't do it. But do we not often think that of ourselves? God did not say anything good about this man In fact, God is missing in this whole conversation, in this so-called prayer that he made in the temple. He has no knowledge of his original sin. He has no knowledge of what God said about mankind. And dear brothers and sisters, this is how unconverted people, and I'm sorry to say, some Christians also think about themselves. They have no knowledge of their rottenness. They have no knowledge that they were born in sin. They really do not understand what it means by original sin. Look at the example of the Apostle Paul before he was converted. He actually seriously thought that he was okay. He actually got angry with the Christians for saying that everyone needed a Savior and that Jesus Christ would be the Savior. He actually thought that he was good enough until he became converted. He was a man who would say, like this Pharisee, I am not as other men are. Recently, in his blog, Pastor Joel Bicky, who a few years ago came to speak to us here in this congregation, Joel Bicky shared the story about his encounter with a lady from China. He was taking a plane back to his state of Michigan, and there he found himself sitting beside a lady from China. And so they started to talk. And he asked the lady about her spiritual conviction and her religion and things like that. And the lady had no idea what he was talking about. And he had to explain to her in a very simple manner and the need for the Savior. And the lady said that she has never heard of the gospel. This is the first time she heard about the need for a Savior, the fact that she was a born a sinner and that she needed a Savior to save her. There are many people in the church and outside of church that who have never heard of this. You'll be surprised, some of our children here, they still think that they are good enough for heaven. They didn't know. Or at least, it's still not breaking through to them that we are all sinners. We cannot save ourselves. We are no different from this Pharisee. We think that we are okay, when we are actually not okay. The human heart has not changed all this time, dear brothers and my sisters and boys and girls here. You must remember, for example, what Psalm 53 verses 2 and 3 says. It says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. The problem is, we don't believe what the Bible says about the human race. We still say that our children are little angels, and that we don't believe when the school call up and say that your son and your daughter did something wrong. We can't. We say, no, that is not my son, that's not my daughter. No, that's not. It must be a confusion. There must be a mistake. But dear brothers and sisters, we reject what God said about us. We do not consider ourselves as filthy. And certainly we do not see ourselves as without any good. How then, brothers and sisters, can we be Christians? The Lord Jesus Christ entered time and space and came into this world. And of all the parables spoke to one message only. And that is of our great need to know that we are what God described us to be. It's not important what you say about me. It is not important what you say about yourself, like this Pharisee here. What is important is, what does God say? What is God seeing in us? What is God saying about us? My dear brothers and sisters, that is most important. And the scripture tells us here that we are no different from this Pharisee. That we need to know that we are no different from other men. And that is what is wrong with the gospel, and that is why a lot of people find the gospel of Jesus Christ to be a gospel of bad news rather than good news, because the gospel begins with, you are a sinner. You are a sinner. You cannot save yourselves. You cannot trust in yourselves. You know, this sounds so contradictory to what we hear in the world. You know, from primary one, and for some people from as young as kindergarten or even nursing school or even a childcare, you have been taught, believe in yourself. You can do it. You can do it. You do it, and you're good. And yet when we come to the gospel, it says you are bad. You cannot do it. You need God. Oh, we are taught to trust in ourselves, rely on ourselves. The scripture tells us that you cannot rely on yourself. You cannot trust in yourself. You must trust in the Savior, for He and He only can save us from our sin. Oh, it's a bad news. We do not like the gospel. We do not believe that we are bad and wicked. We do not see ourselves as sinners. And yet at the same time, we can see the sins of others. We cannot see our sins, but we can see other people's sin. We cannot see our own grey hair. Where God? Don't have lah. Where God? But we can see the grey hairs on other people's head. We cannot forgive the sins of others. We despise the sins of others, but we are blind to our own sins. Often we say to ourselves, I am not as other men are. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is the first point that I'm trying to drive at. And I trust that you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to drive this to the common people when He told them this parable. Look at what this Pharisee did to show that he was not as other men are. He said in verse 12, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He fasts twice a week, brothers and sisters. How many times do you fast in a year? I'm not talking about forget to bring money for recess time. I mean really saying that you fast. He fasts twice a week. You know that God only instructed His ancient people to fast once a year? If you turn to Leviticus 23, you'll find there the Lord calling on the people, giving instruction that they must fast on the Day of Atonement. The word, ye shall afflict your souls, refers to fasting. And yes, there will be time, you know, here and there in individuals where they found that it's necessary to fast as they seek the help of God, as they got serious with God, as they felt the conviction of sin. But those are just on their own. But officially, as it were, you find the scripture giving instruction that the ancient people were to fast once a year. But this guy, this man who saw himself as better than others, he was saying, Lord, I fast twice a week, times 52, 53 Sundays or the Lord's week. Well, you can understand that he did so much better than us. We never even fast once a year. But this Pharisee did more than he was required by God. He showed, you see, he has actually evidence to prove, you know, that I'm better than others, because look, I fast twice a week. Look at others. They never even fast once a week. Much less twice a week. And so I'm doing better than others. And look at what we are told. You say, I give tithes of all that I possess. When you turn into the scriptures, you'll realize that the scripture tells us that there are things exempted, that you don't need to tithe. But this guy is actually saying, well, there are three people who will not tithe for those things, but even those things I tithe. Lord, I love you more. I did more. I am better managed. I am better in control of our life. And therefore, Lord, I'm not like them. Is that how we look at ourselves? Is that how you look at yourself? You trusted in your own goodness. You see no need of a Savior. You felt that there is no need for you to be saved. Saved from what? You're okay. You saw no need for the help of God. You could keep the laws of God perfectly. Remember the rich young ruler who came to our Lord and told the Lord, I had kept all this from my youth. He did not see the need for the Savior. He could not see that he was like all men. Rather, like the Pharisee in this parable, he saw that he was different from others. Before I go to the second point, I must ask you, are you the same? Brothers and sisters, you know Christians can be hypocrites too. I trust you know. We often compare ourselves, yeah, not publicly, but quietly, maybe in our families we know. We compare with other families. We think we have read more chapters of the Holy Bible than others. And when we find out that that family is not having regular family worship, we tell ourselves we are better than that family. No wonder, look, the son. No wonder, look at the daughter. They are not behaving properly. Because they are not like my family. We have family worship every day. We think we have prayed more than others. And we ask people, do they pray? They never even come for the church prayer meeting. And we think that we pray more because we come for church prayer meeting. And therefore we are better than others. We think that we have followed the Lord Jesus Christ closer than others. We think we know the holy faith, the faith of our fathers, better than others because we read more Reformed books. We think we are more Reformed than others because we read more Reformed books than others. Well, brothers and sisters, all these are the things that the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to put to this character here described as a Pharisee. Do you remember in the book of Romans chapter 1 that the Apostle Paul gave us a list of sins? And if you look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 30, you find the word proud as one of the sins listed by the Apostle. We have to seriously ask ourselves as Christians this morning, are we proud? Because only a proud person will say, I'm better than you. Only a proud person will say, we are better than them. We forget what James chapter 4 and verse 6 says. God resisteth the proud, but God giveth grace unto the humble. Now what does the Lord actually say about this Pharisee? Well, the Pharisee said a lot of good things about himself, the Lord. He thanked the Lord for everything he said about himself. But listen, listen to what our Lord described about this man in verse 11. He says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. It is all what this Pharisee presumed about himself and concluded about himself and praised himself for. It is all what he himself thought about himself. He never asked God. He did not go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you think of me? Frankly, Lord, what should I think about myself? This Pharisee had never begged God. His actions showed that he did not need God. You realize we are told that he went and he prayed with himself. It's supposed to be a prayer. What is a prayer? The Shorter Catechism defines prayer as an offering up of our desire unto God. Is there any desire here? Did he ask God for anything? Is there any petition in this prayer? Zero. It's not a prayer in the right sense, in the true sense of the word prayer. He was asking nothing of God. He was actually telling God and reporting to God, in fact. Concerning this Pharisee, people like this Pharisee, our Lord Jesus Christ elsewhere, for example, in Matthew 23 and verse 14 tells us, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. What the Lord hated the most is pretense. What the Lord hated the most in his people is that we are hypocrites. We are good actors and actresses. The Lord wants us to be genuine. The Lord wants us to be people who are honest with God, who really seek after the Lord. Psalm 51 and verse 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Recently, I read Psalm 51 for my children, and I'm glad that one of my sons asked me, what is a contrite heart? Papa, I don't understand. Can you explain to me? And I have to explain to him what is a broken and a contrite heart. But brothers and sisters, seriously, children here, do you know the kind of heart that God is looking for in the lives, in the lives of his people, in Christians? Do you as a Christian, do you have a broken and a contrite heart before God? Or do you have a different heart, like the Pharisee described by our Savior here in the parable? Now, where do we find such a man? A man with a broken and a contrite heart? Well, we come to our second person, isn't it? The next character of this parable, namely the publican. You know that the publicans would be what is called today tax collectors. They worked for the Roman government, and the Roman government was occupying the land of the Jews. In the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews, they were not in power. They were occupied, they were conquered by the Romans. And so they were very angry. They were not happy. And on top of that, you have Jews working for the Roman civil service. they were considered wicked and evil men in the eyes of the Jews. Often they would collect more money than they were supposed to collect for the Roman government. Why? They collected more so that the extra will go into their own pocket. It's for themselves, you see. And so you can imagine that they were known to be wicked, because how can you bully? You are a Jew, you bully your fellow Jews. You join with the Romans to bully your own people. I mean, that is ridiculous. You are a monster. You are a wicked monster. Do we not call people with no love for their own loved ones? They were known to bully their fellow Jews, and so they were hated by the Jews, the fellow Jews, as traitors and sinners. And when the Lord Jesus Christ said that there, here, this publican, the moment he mentioned that in this parable, everybody listening to our Lord on that day, they all knew what the Lord Jesus Christ, what kind of people the Lord Jesus Christ, he was referring to. Outcast of society, the worst of sinners. Nobody want to say, girl, I pray like that you married that tax collector. No mothers will say that. Nobody will say, son, you grow up, okay, we study hard, then you be a tax collector. No fathers in their right mind as a believer of God will say that. That's the kind of people that you will never consider to be a son-in-law, or even to be a vocation for your sons. And listen to what kind of person the Lord is describing here in verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, brothers and sisters, do you see the contrast here? We have seen the Pharisee and his attitude, and now you turn to the Pharisee, away from the Pharisee, you come to the tax collector here, you find a man, a broken-hearted man, a man ashamed of himself. He was so ashamed. And he did not say that he was ashamed. He didn't need to say. We can see in his action. Action speaks louder than words, right? You know, there was once I made my wife so angry. And she was really angry with me. And I was very sorry. I went to her and I foolishly said, wife, do you still love me or not? And she said, yeah, love you still. I didn't go away and say, thank God she still loved me. I was even more frightened. Your word sounds good, but the tone that it was given doesn't sound very right to me. And that's the case, brothers and sisters. You know, the action doesn't go with the word. The Pharisee says he's like that, but that's not him. And here we have a man here describing his true self before God. What a shameful attitude he had of himself. He was ashamed. He dare not even go near to the temple building. He was in the compound, but far, far away, as far as possible. And because he felt so dirty, he knew that he should not go near to God, because God is holy, and he is not. He has been a filthy, dirty sinner who has cheated people, who has been unkind to people, who have no love for others. It's all about selfish self. I drive the Mercedes. You can take the bus all you like, even in the rain or shine. You need to go to hospital. Well, it's your problem. Did you see the photograph of a group of soldiers who helped somebody get on a bus during a rainy day? You know, I was so encouraged that we still have NS men who are willing to get wet in order to make sure that the person sitting on a wheelchair stayed dry as he got up the bus. And that's what we are talking about here, brothers and sisters. He was standing afar off, instead of standing as near as he could to the temple building, like the Pharisee described here in this parable. He knew that he was unworthy to go near to God. He was conscious of his failings. He was conscious of his sin. And so he dare not do it. We are further told that he would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven. Well, what would it mean if we dare not look at a person into the eyes? You know that a person has something to hide, right? You go to the immigration department at the causeway. As you clear immigration, you go to the custom, you realize they are all looking into your eyes. Because you have things that you are not supposed to have in the car. You'll be turning here, turning there. And you dare not look at the officer in their eyes because you have something to hide. There's something fishy about you. They want to strip naked your car to find out what are you hiding in your car. And that is the case here. Often I go to my wife and my wife say, how's your day? I say, okay. Why are you not looking at me? Nothing. Why you dare not look at me? Nothing. Surely there's something my wife say. My wife is very good. She knows me inside out. And my sons, I'm also very good, my children. They come back from school, I say, anything the teacher say? No, Papa. Teacher say nothing? No, Papa. Then why are you not looking at me? You have something to hide. And that's the case with men. You dare not look into the eyes of God. You dare not lift up your face because you know, Lord, I wanted to, but I dare not to. Because when I think of you, I cannot but think of my sin and rebellious acts, how I have messed up my own life, how I have not trusted you, how I have rejected your promise, how I have disobeyed the instruction when I knew that it was meant for my good. The next thing we are told about this man is that he smoked upon his breast. The pain inside of his body is so heavy and so much more painful than the physical pain he was inflicting on the outside of his body. This man was under a great conviction of sins. My dear brothers and sisters and children, have you ever felt this way before God in your life as a Christian? Have you ever felt this deep conviction of your sinfulness? Do you know what our Lord Jesus is talking about here when he described this publican as having such a deep experience before God? You realize that Paul, whenever he thought about God and how he was converted, he cannot but say, Lord, I'm the chief of sinners. You remember once Peter said to our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, do not come near to me, for I am unclean. You realize David, when Nathan the prophet went to him with a message of God that you have sinned, David said, I have sinned. I have sinned. And he penned those words in Psalm 51, a broken and a contrite heart. You say that you are a Christian. You claim to be a Christian. You claim to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. May I ask you, in that case, have you ever experienced what the Lord Jesus said was experienced by this tax collector? Furthermore, the Bible tells us here that this man prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A request. Here you find a man begging God. Here you find an earnest petition. The Pharisee did not pray. The Pharisee did not make any request. He was only in motion and in the act of praying. But actually, he was not praying. He was actually praising himself to God. But look at this prayer, brothers and sisters. And it's important that we understand what this man was saying. The word merciful, be merciful to me, means to atone for, to propitiate, or to make reconciliation for. It is the same word that the apostle translated, that the apostle used and is translated in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 as to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. When this publican said, God be merciful to me, he was actually saying, Lord, I know my sin. I cannot pay for my sin. I cannot help it. Lord, only you can atone for my sin for me in your mercy. He was actually believing in God's promise. He was actually asking God to save him. He was actually saying, Lord, there is nothing I can do to save myself. But you, please keep your promise that you will atone for my sin when the Savior comes into this world. In other words, this shows that this tax collector knew that he was a sinner, he has offended God, and he was professing before God that he believed in God's promise to save him. You remember John chapter 1 and verse 29? The next day, John the Baptist seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, pointed out and said, Here, the Lamb of God, here, the one that God has promised to send here. Yes, he's a human, but he, the Son of God, he will be the Lamb of God. All the animal sacrifices that have been sacrificed throughout the history of God's people, here, it will climate in him. This is the one. This is the one who will be able to atone for all our sins. And so this morning I want to ask you, have you a conviction of sin? And have you ever trusted in the promise of God? Have you ever said, Lord, be merciful, atone for my sin? And I believe that the Lord Jesus is the one alone who can be my Savior. Look at verse 14. He says, I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other man. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Here you find another important word, justified. It means to be declared righteous by God. It means God pronouncing. Listen, this is what God say. God say that this man is righteous. This is what God say about this man. This man is righteous. Not like the Pharisee. He say that he is righteous. God never said that about him. But here, God say that he is righteous. And so, brothers and sisters, who is really righteous? A man who thought that he has done nothing unworthy of God, or a man who knew that he had broken all the laws of God and he begged that God be merciful to him and atone for his sin with the blood of Jesus Christ? This morning you have to ask yourself, who do you trust? Do you trust in your own righteousness, or do you trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ our Lord? And it's important for us to ask this question of us, because here is the heart of the Christian message. Why is the Lord Jesus so precious to us? Why do we sing hymns to His praise? Why do we talk about Him? Why do we pray in His name? And why is it about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus that we want to tell others? It is here, brothers and sisters, because without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no hope for us. We will be another Christian Pharisee. Young people, boys and girls, you must believe in Jesus. Your parents want you to come to church. Your parents want you to learn the first word, the first name, Jesus, in your life, because He's the most important person in life for you. Psalm 34 and verse 18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and He saves such as have a contrite spirit. This man, this sinful man, this tax collector, this hated man, he found peace with God. He went away receiving God's blessing and pronouncement. God's blessing was upon him. In a very short moment, we are going to leave this hall. What will it be for you and your children? Will you leave this place just like the Pharisee left? Or will you be leaving this place like this tax collector? Will you go away thinking, ha, what a silly sermon? Or will you go away thinking, thank you, Pastor, for reminding me that without Jesus Christ, there is no hope for me and all I loved? What would it be for you, brothers and sisters? How will you respond to this parable, an earthly story with a spiritual message? Do you understand the story? And do you understand the message intended by our Lord? And will you receive it and open your heart to it? And thank God. Not thank God that you are better than others, but thank God that God is merciful to you. What would it be for you, I ask you this morning? Will you come to Christ? Will you come this morning and recognize and say, Lord, what you say about me is correct? Lord, I'm a sinner. Yes, I may not have killed somebody with a knife. Yes, I have not shot somebody with a gun. But Lord, I hated a lot of people in my heart. I have committed spiritual murder. Lord, I have not committed adultery. I have not visited a prostitute. I have not slept with another person who is not my spouse. But I have committed spiritual adultery and fornication. Have you spoken a white lie? Have you borne a false witness? Have you lied, brothers and sisters? How can you lie to God? I can't believe it. I mean, you want to lie to people, but you lie to God? You want to tell lies to the Almighty God who knows everything about you? You should be ashamed. We should be ashamed, because God knows. And it is impossible for us to deceive God. Rather, come this morning, accept this parable. Come and receive forgiveness for your sin. Come and be humble. Because God tells us here that He receives all who humbleth Himself. So come in the attitude. God opens His heart to all who comes. There is always forgiveness for those who will come. And the Holy Spirit will call you to come. So come. Come. and be welcomed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive His love. Receive His love. And go away with the peace of God that the world can never provide you. Let us stand, brothers and sisters, for prayer. Gracious God, we have heard this parable. We have considered many things from this parable. We have considered our spiritual state before Thee. We have considered what Thou hast described about us. And we confess that we are guilty. Thou art just to condemn us to the fire of hell. Thou art just to separate Thyself from us. But we cling on to Thy promise that Thou would be gracious to all who will call upon the name of the Savior. And so we come by this appointed way to salvation. We call upon Thy Son's name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask, gracious God, that Thou would atone for our sins and adopt us to be Thy people and to save us from ourselves and our sins and cause us to love Thee truly with a genuineness of heart and spirit. We give ourselves to Thee and for Thy service. We pray that all the days we live, we will live beautifully for Thy glory and the benefit of Thy kingdom. And so give us Thy blessing, we pray, for Christ our blessed Savior's sake. Amen. Let us sing the closing psalm, Psalm 51, stanza 1, verse 5.